What's up, everybody? My name is Adam Badger, and welcome to Talkin' Fit. What's up, guys? Thank you for listening to Talkin' Fit. Before we get into it, just real quick, if you get any value out of this episode, which I'm really sure that you will, because we have a really cool guest today, just go ahead and share it out there. There's a lot of the concepts that we talk about in the show in general, I think are very broad and helpful to a lot of people. But the stuff we're going to cover today goes beyond just food and working out. And it's a lot of mindset stuff. So if you have it in you, share out the link, leave a review, subscribe, do all that cool stuff. It's very, very helpful in growing a podcast and just getting more good free information out there. Today, we have a really cool guest, Sarah DiNio, who is my own personal mindset coach. So as a coach, I always say that coaches need coaches too. And I see a lot of value in getting coached on goals that you find very, very valuable. And Sarah has been a huge help to me over the last, since right after Christmas, maybe, and right before, it was before Christmas, right after Thanksgiving. So that's like 6-7 months. I've been seeing her. I was seeing her once a week and then started seeing her like once a month. And she's really, really helped change my life for the better. So welcome to the show, Sarah.
Thanks so much, Adam. Thanks for having me.
No problem. I'm excited to talk about this today. So basically, Sarah, could you give us just like a quick idea of like what your business is? And we can get into later, like how you got into it, but just a quick synopsis of like what you do professionally and what you help people with.
Yeah, sure. Absolutely. Yeah. So I'm an inner alignment coach. And essentially what I do is I help people in manifesting whatever it is that they are trying to manifest. And the way that we go about that is, as it relates to my technique, the way that I have been trained to do this is through inner alignment, which means we have to get our internal state to match what it is that we're trying to manifest externally. That's literally the only way that we can ever manifest anything, because our thoughts and our feelings are creating the reality that we are experiencing 24/7. So we can, as you and I have talked about a million times, we can tell ourselves a million times to think something, but if there's old stuff that is living within us that is making it that we're trying to think one thing, but we actually feel differently from that, we're never going to be able, or we're always going to be coming up against that wall. So I'm really grateful that I get to really help people in learning some really simple tools and strategies to be able to manifest whatever it is that they're looking to manifest externally by changing how they feel internally.
That's, and one of the things that I really liked about working with Sarah is that I think a lot of times when people talk about mindset and manifesting, it can come across as like kind of like a woo-woo, like, oh, if I just think it, it'll magically come true. but Sarah's really, really big on being like tactical and specifically saying like, there's been so many times in sessions where she said to me, like, this isn't like woo-woo, like you can just think and then things are going to be all like, you know, hunky-dory and like everything you wished for. You actually have to put in the work. And that is why I think I connected a lot to the stuff that we did, was because it was work that I needed to be doing that I wasn't doing on my own. And then having someone hold me accountable to it and actually give me specific tasks to do literally just made me do those things. And yes, I learned a ton, but I think as you've seen too, is the biggest value with coaching is that you just get people to do the things they know they probably should be doing.
Right.
And that's really what it comes down to. And as a nutrition coach or as a personal trainer, there's never been a person who's come to me who's been like, I didn't know I was supposed to be eating healthy, right? Didn't know I was supposed to be working out, right? It's just that they weren't doing it. Yeah. And I work a lot with people with mindset, but there's been a lot of stuff, especially over the last 6 months, that I've taken from my sessions with Sarah and applied to my coaching and my approach with clients and trying them to actually get them to behave in a way that's in line with their goals. So what led you to becoming like a mindset coach? Like, how did you get into that? What's that story? I don't think I've ever asked you that.
Yeah. So I think probably like most people, I needed some major hurdle in my life to make me go, okay, I cannot do it this way any longer. I have to figure out a different way to do this. Enough is enough. And for me, that was when I started trying to grow my family or have a family. So my husband and I got married. I have a gigantic extended family. So I just thought like, oh, you just get married and you start trying and then you have some kids. And that was not my path to parenthood. I do now have 2 healthy kids, but it took me some extra work to get there. And through all of that, it sounds strange, but I can honestly say now, like, I wouldn't change anything because I learned so much. And so that's what led me to become a coach. But really it was like, I was trying everything possible. Anything that was like, might help, can't hurt. Sure, I'll try it. I was Googling to the ends of the internet and I was trying everything anyone said might help. And I was driving myself crazy. I was literally in like a pretty much, it sounds extreme, but I was kind of in like a perpetual state of stress because I was worrying about what I was putting in my body and what I was putting on my body. And if I was giving myself the best chance every single month, and it just really wreaked havoc on my overall well-being. And whether it's trying to have a baby or pick various things in life, when you're in that state of stress, your likelihood of achieving whatever it is that you're trying to achieve, your body is like, no, something's wrong. Like, we're in state of stress. It's survival mode, which sounds extreme, but like fight or flight, that's what our bodies are designed to do. So all of that led me to do a lot of research and try a lot of different things and throw a bunch of stuff on the wall and see what stuck. And then fortunately, I was through an odd series of events, which I can share with you if you ever want, but I came across this coaching certification that really led me to be able to operationalize so much of what I had learned through my own trial and error. And again, like so many people, like my elusive goal was growing my family, but it doesn't matter what your goal is. It's we need something that's not working that leads us to say, okay, I'll try other things. And through me trying these other things, I realized like, it sounds really strange, but our bodies actually know what they're doing. We need to learn how to actually get out of our own ways and utilize what's happening anyway to our advantage rather than getting in our ways by trying a gazillion different things. And so just to speak a little more about that, what I mean is our thoughts and our feelings are creating the reality that we experience 24/7. And the physiology of our bodies is literally based on whatever we have been thinking and feeling in the past. So we're just perpetually creating more of whatever we've been thinking and feeling in the past.
That makes a lot of sense. Yeah, it does. This is a weird comparison, but it's like, I've talked to clients about this before. It's like when, you know, let's say you're a kid and you're someone who celebrates Christmas and you were told Santa was real. Like as a kid, it felt so real. Like it felt possible that that was a thing that you would think that like, oh, I think I heard him last night. Or I think I heard like the sleigh bells and you would have, and it, but it's, once you find out it's not real, you're like, oh, that's weird. And then you just have logic comes in. But like during those moments when you truly believe that it was that Santa Claus existed, you couldn't convince you otherwise. So if you take that and apply that in a negative way, as you're an adult, if you believe like, you know, if we're tying it into like, you know, fitness, if you believe I'm meant to be fat, I'm not meant to be healthy, or like I have bad genetics, or, you know, I just can't do it. You're going to believe, if you believe that so strongly, like your actions, your, the way you think, the way you approach situations is all coming from that place. So with you, it wasn't a situation of, like you said, that you didn't believe that you could get pregnant at first, but through many like hurdles and errors and having those struggles with fertility, you started to maybe subconsciously believe that like, oh no, maybe I can, there's something wrong with me. And then that stress creates more stress.
Yeah, absolutely. And it was kind of fascinating because it didn't take very long for me to make that shift from like, oh, it's just going to happen to, it was literally like within a couple of months of it not happening when I thought it would happen right away, I started doubting myself. I started wondering what was wrong with my body. I started worrying about everything that I was doing and all of that. And so it did not take long at all. And then that's what I just stuck with because I felt like I had something I had to fix. And as you just said, when whatever it is that you believe, your thoughts just start focusing on that. So like in the case of, you know, health and well-being and fitness and all of that, like you can be doing 90% of the stuff right. But if you're focusing on the 10% of the time that you cut yourself a little slack or you eat the thing that wasn't healthy or whatever, if that gets all the attention, then that's how you're feeling. And that is what is creating how you feel overall. So it's, yeah, it's about that balance, of course.
No, that's like to tie, to explain to you guys. So Sarah, your general client base, like, would you say is mostly women trying to conceive? Is that makes up most of your clients, or is that like just sort of a small piece of the pie?
It's, I would say about probably half of my clients are those who are trying to get pregnant. And of that half, half of them have experienced a loss in the past. And so, then the other half are people who have various other goals. So it doesn't have to be pregnancy or family related whatsoever. Well,
That's why I wanted to bring that up, because when I first heard of Sarah, it was through my wife, who, you know, my wife is, works with women trying to conceive, and she's a nutritional coach. But we had struggles with fertility. So like, she's just in that circle. So Sarah, I don't even remember how you and her came into contact, but basically Meg had a Zoom call with Sarah and then talked to me. It was like, you should talk to Sarah. Like, she was basically explaining like all what she does with people. And like, you should talk to her, because she was basically describing like how you live your life in this stressed state and how like you're basically manifesting things that are stressing you out. So when I reached out to Sarah, I said to her like, backtrack a second. Meg said to Sarah, my husband should reach out to you. And Sarah said, every wife says that and no husbands ever reach out. So it's when true. I messaged Sarah, I said, I'm going to be the exception to the rule and actually reach out to you. And the reason why I bring that up is because A, to just show you guys, like, Sarah works with people from, you know, whether they're trying to work through childhood trauma or they're trying to lose weight or whatever the goal is. So if you hear what we're talking about and you're like, oh my God, I want to work with someone like that, but I'm not trying to conceive. She doesn't just work with people trying to conceive. So anyway, my point basically is this, like, if you were to look at me, you wouldn't necessarily think I'd be going to a place called Kind Nest to get like mental health coaching because of just the way I present, right? I'm tattoos and, you know, guy who works out, you know, I probably look like a douchebag half the time, but like, if you were to meet the majority of the people that I coach, they're women in their late 30s, early 40s, 50s. I have a few clients in their 60s. I look nothing like them. They look nothing like me. We live completely different lives, but we're able to connect on something. And Sarah was able to connect with me on this approach to mindset. And I've done, therapy before, and I've done that whole, and I believe that does work. But with Sarah, the thing that was different was it was like, like when we first met, she was like, we're going to meet every week for 8 weeks and we're actually going to like get stuff done. And that was just a totally different approach to it. And it really fit like my belief system. It was like, okay, I have a goal, let's get to it. So anyway, some of the stuff that you and I have worked on in our sessions was with me is I essentially have created a life that if I had written a description of my life today and showed it to myself 10 years ago, I'd be like, oh my God, I want Adam's life. I have a good marriage, a beautiful wife, a great son. I live in a nice house. I own my own business doing something that I enjoy doing. I get to work from home. I get to make a living and save and like just list out all these things. And when I saw Sarah, I was at a place where I was literally where Sarah described, I can't live like this anymore. I was so stressed, so down, like just everything I listed about my life, I couldn't see any of it. I was just living in stress all day long. And I was telling myself that the stress came from a fear of messing up with the things that were going good for me. But in reality, it was coming from this like trauma and this gunk that Sarah likes to call it, is gunk in my brain that I had just been living with for my entire life. So, not to make this about me, but I guess relating it to my goals when you met me, versus to like maybe over the last month or so, you know, what were some changes I guess that you saw? And not to gas me up or anything. I'm just curious, like just from personal experience, you know, people who listen to this may have like a relationship with me. They're like, oh, Adam went through that.
Right. Absolutely.
So I would love to hear it from your perspective.
Yeah. I love that you are at a place now, Adam, where you're able to be so transparent about that, because it's such a, and I'm not just like here to pat you on the back. Obviously you know me, I wouldn't be saying this. Like literally, as you just said, 6-8 months ago, you were in a state of stress such that you weren't able to enjoy your life, even though you could list out on paper the things that you knew ideally you would be able to enjoy. And that's literally what happens with, I was going to say 99%. It's all of the clients that I work with. This is what all of us are walking around with, is we have old energy that gets stored up in our body that's from old experiences. Anything that is not fully processed at the time that it's experienced gets stored in our body energetically. Mm-hmm. And that's what I affectionately refer to as the gunk. It's just stuff that we stored up because we didn't know how to deal with it at the time. And that can be bigger things, or it can be smaller things that accumulated over the course of time, or when we were kids and we didn't know how to deal with it. And so we build in these limiting beliefs in our mind, and we literally have that old energy hanging around in our bodies. That sounds kind of silly, but literally, I feel like everyone has probably had this experience where there's something that happened in your present life and you react to it as though it is a life or death situation, even though, again, on paper, you can see like, I'm not literally dying from this, but what's happening is that old energy is getting poked in the present by anything that's similar to what happened in the past. Mm-hmm. So what you have done and what this inner alignment work enables people to do is clear out that old energy so that you can literally be present with what is in your life. And that doesn't mean, as you just alluded to, that does not mean life is all rainbows and unicorns. Life is still life. We still have ups and downs and great times and horrible times and all of that. But what you're able to do, and you, as you just said, you are such a like living example of this now. What we're able to do is allow all of it. We don't have to sweep under the rug the stuff that doesn't feel good and then walk around that pile under the rug every time we get anywhere near it because it's getting so huge or because it doesn't feel good. Like you get to just pull that stuff out, look at it as an adult or as your present self or whatever, and actually process that old energy. And with that, it's literally no longer with you, which this is the key. Then you can truly start thinking some different thoughts about it. Our brains are just literally like records. They say the neurons that fire together, wire together. So whatever thoughts have been practiced in the past, it's literally just like a record that's playing in our brain 24/7. We have like 60,000 thoughts every single day, but only 5% of them are conscious. So the other 95% are things that we thought so much that we don't even have to think it anymore. Just like when you learn to drive a car and you had to think about putting the blinker on. Now you can drive a car, never think about putting the blinker on, but you still do it. Same sort of thing. So all that stuff, once that old energy isn't there, then you can truly think something different. And that's when, just as you have seen over these last many months, you're definitely not a different person. I didn't know you before. It's not literally like, I don't like to say someone's a different, people are always like, I feel like such a different person. What literally seems to happen is, and I experienced this myself too, we actually just like are able to be ourselves rather than being driven by the stress and the fear and the all of that sort of stuff that we were hyper-focused on based on the old stuff. We can literally let that stuff go for like once and for all, such that we can think something different. And I see that in you, like what I hear you talking about these days, like you still have stuff that comes up. You're still
day.
In today. Love with life every moment. Right, exactly. Because you're still human, right? That the goal cannot be to not be human. Like we're still going to be human, but you're a lot, I don't know if happier is the way, like you're much more.
I definitely happier is a big word. And the, like, I'm trying, I also want to make sure that I don't make this about me. So I do want to tell other people, but I believe that this is relatable, and I'll tie it back. So the first thing that I, when you were explaining that, I, the analogy that I thought of is like, let's say you have like a spare room in your house and it's not being used. And every day that you find some junk around the house that you don't really know what to do with, you just throw it in that spare room. Mm-hmm. And then as the junk's piling up and piling up, you don't see the spare room every day, but you know in the back of your mind, like, oh, that spare room is getting piled, it's getting worse. And then one day you're like, I want to turn that spare room into whatever, a guest room. And it's just all this gunk in there. And you can stress about it and you can fear it and you can avoid it. And you could like keep looking at it and be like, oh my God, my house is so messy. And you start focusing on this one room. But at the end of the day, if you want to put something else in the room, you have to take the gunk out and then you could turn it into a guest room. And it's kind of like what I was doing with my brain is that like I was so obsessed with this one area of my brain that was all gunked up. And I could, everything, 99% of my life could be going exactly like how I would love to do it. I love it to be going. I could have, and a lot of my stuff, I've talked about this on my show before, is always usually triggered by my childhood experiences with growing up poor and watching my mom struggle and all this stuff. as an adult, my biggest fear is to put my son through that and to live that way as an adult. So I could have a good business helping people. I could have, let's say I have 30 clients and 29 of them are giving me good feedback and they're doing well and I'm enjoying our relationship. And I have one who just out of nowhere cancels on me. Mm-hmm. That would trigger this response mm-hmm. of like, this is the beginning. This is where everything starts to go to shit. Yeah. Now I'm going to start living. And I've said this to Sarah before. I'm like, it's like in my mind, that one client abruptly canceling is the first step in me ending up in the welfare office with my mm-hmm. son in my hand. And it literally right. brings tears to my eyes. Yeah. And to tie that back to you as the listener, this is what happens to people when they're trying to lose weight. They step on the scale. It spikes up after a day of bad, maybe poor choices. They know subconsciously, they know for a fact that they did not gain a pound of fat overnight. They know that one meal didn't offset months and months of work, but it triggers this emotion of, I knew it. I am fat. This is how I gained the weight back. This is where everything is coming from. And it ties into that. It triggers those beliefs. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. It totally does. And what it's reminding me of is how many times we have come back to this discussion of being motivated by fear versus being motivated by desire. And it sounds on the surface like the same thing, but it's entirely different. The energy and the feeling of something that's motivated by fear, such as you were just saying, whether it's stepping on the scale and feeling like it's being your worst fear is being confirmed, or as you were saying about your business, you know, you can have 29 clients that are perfectly happy and one that leaves, and we're focused on that one. When the fear is, this is the step that's going to lead to me and my family being in the welfare, versus the desire. When we're motivated by desire, as in how I actually want to feel, why is it that I want the number on the scale to be going down? Mm-hmm. What is it about that is motivating to me, that rather than that number or the meaning of that number or what's behind that number shifts entirely? Why do I want that number to go down? When that becomes the motivator, everything changes because it's motivated by desire rather than the fear of what it means if it doesn't go down, or God forbid, if it goes up.
Yeah. And I think that's really, when people are trying to lose weight, I see this with clients all the time, is I have that discussion with them of, when you lose the weight, why do you want to lose it? What are the things you want to be able to do? What are the things in life you think would be different? And, you know, a lot of times they have trouble coming up with answers because they've just been so focused on I just need to see this number go down.
Right.
And it's the same thing that I realized through working with you is you were like, okay, let's say you didn't ever have to worry about growing your business. Let's say you were totally secure. What would you do differently? And I remember telling you, like, I probably wouldn't do much differently. I would probably still do my podcast. I would do my posts. I would work with clients. I would talk about fitness because I truly believe it's valuable. All the stuff I'm doing now, I would continue to do. I just wouldn't feel like I was in a perpetual state of stress and fight or flight all the time. And you're like, exactly. Okay, now you just got to start behaving like that now and it'll come. So it's the same
thing. And you may recall the follow-up question was, so if you're not feeling that, so you were like, I won't feel this. Or you were like, I would do these things and I wouldn't feel this way. If you're not feeling that way, what are you feeling instead? Because that's often the missing piece for people is mm-hmm. like, we're so focused on what we don't want to feel that what we actually want to feel is like this complete unknown. I don't know how I would feel instead. What it like? And do you remember us talking about like?
Oh yeah, 100%. I see that, and I see. Yeah, it's like that was the thing too. Is like, okay, Adam, if you weren't stressed about, you know, finances or whatever it is, mm-hmm. what would you be spending that energy on? And I remember being like, I honestly can't even come up with an answer right now because I'm just so used to living in that stress. And I actually had to think about it and write it out. And it took me like a full week to get back to you with like some semblance of an answer.
Right.
And
it's valuable a week, right?
Oh yeah. No. Oh yeah. That I think something like that should take time to think about. And I think that's the thing with people who are trying to lose weight is they're like, it's like, okay, let's say if you had the body you wanted, or more importantly, the health that you wanted, you mm-hmm. felt the way you wanted to feel, you had the confidence that you wanted to have, what would you be thinking about instead? What would you what would you be thinking when you looked at yourself in the mirror? And again, a big point of this is not to be, we're not trying to say be delusional. we're not saying look in the mirror and just convince yourself that you like yourself, but not actually make change. We're saying that if you like yourself now, that you'll then actually be able to make the change.
Yes.
And that's the important piece, is that Sarah's never said to me like, or I've never even come up with this conclusion. It's like, oh, I just need to be happy with how things are and not want them to get better or improve. That's not the case. It's just,
well, it wouldn't work because you don't actually feel that way. You can tell yourself to think that, but if you feel differently, it's not going to matter. It has to be that those two are, because there's a constant feedback loop going on between what we think and how we feel. We think something, then we feel the related feelings, emotions, etc. And then we feel that, and then we think about it. And so there's this constant feedback loop. So if you were to try to tell yourself, oh, just think this, but underneath you're really feeling the opposite of that, what you're feeling is what is actually creating what's in your life. So that's, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, no, it makes a ton of sense. And again, that's why I always come back to this when I talk about this stuff. Because I've referenced our conversations with clients before, and I've said to them, like, this isn't like a woo-woo, like sort of like, oh, just thinking it and it'll happen. It's like, no, like if you're approaching every situation from a, I just don't want to weigh X amount of pounds, you're always going to be fighting that battle. And not to mention, if you've chronically lived in that stress, your body becomes comfortable in that stress. So you're going to seek that stress out. You're going to find reasons to get upset about your body, about your weight. And I've said this to people before, like if tomorrow the scale didn't change, but you were able to feel more confident, look better in your clothes, you know, be healthier, be able to move better, would you take that versus you feel exactly and look exactly how you do now, but the scale was less tomorrow? And then it makes them realize like how important is that number?
Yeah.
And that's how I related to my story too, is that like, would I rather, the thought process is, oh, well, if I pushed my business to X, to point X, then I would feel secure. I would feel better.
Yeah. We talked about that. What would that dollar amount be? Right. Yep.
And there's, and it's exactly. And I always like to always just side note this, because I feel like when I talk about this, sometimes if I'm talking to a group of people and they don't know me personally, it makes it sound like I'm like some like dude who just like chases money. And that's not who I am at all. It's literally like,
no, it's just an illustration.
I don't have a fancy car or a fancy house. I'm not materialistic. And I have a very, very firm principle of like, I always put like people first and, you know, do things the right way. I've never like, you know, coach someone just for the money or anything like that. My point is that like my reason for growing a business as a dad, as a provider, as a husband is like, I need to create security for my family. I'm able to do that through helping people. So the same way as like when someone's trying to lose weight, it doesn't necessarily mean you're vanity driven. It just means you feel like you're going to feel safe and secure at X amount of pounds and you're constantly standing in your own way. With you, are there any like maybe one or two standout success stories you've had with clients that obviously you don't have to not share names or anything like that, but just like big transitions you've seen people make?
Yeah, I'm really fortunate in that I get to see these big transformations happen pretty regularly. And what's really fascinating is, as I alluded to in the beginning, we all need some wall that we've hit our head against enough times that we're like, I literally cannot do this anymore, but I really, really want that thing. So I'm going to do something different. And what tends to happen is through this work, through this process, that whatever that one thing is, they end up manifesting that and they end up creating that or whatever it is, but it doesn't have nearly the pull or the power that it had when they first started. Because through this work, as you just said, like that one thing is still important and there's a reason why you're going for that, but how you actually feel and what you think about yourself and all of that as you're walking throughout your day, day in and day out, and being able to set down the baggage, dare I say, or whatever word you want to use from the past, what I again call the gunk, to not be weighed down by all of that stuff is literally life-changing. And so, I've seen various, I've had the opportunity to be a part of some really amazing cases where people, they're just really empowering themselves to make these huge transformations. And oftentimes it'll take, as you said, you know, we usually work together for 8 solid weeks to start with. And it takes a good few weeks to get into, you know, develop rapport and really start getting into that gunk. And it'll be things like, it's often not the thing that someone thought was going to be the key to their success. It's something that they, as you just alluded to, they've been living with for so long that they just got used to, like, that's something that happened in the past and I made peace with it and it doesn't affect me anymore. When really, so it can be anything from, I've had people who, like, had significant childhood trauma to, you know, relationship challenges, without going into any sort of detail, obviously, yeah. But these things that were just like, yep, that was a part of my life and it sucks and it happened. But once we get into it, once you start talking about things, I can feel when they're starting to actually feel that, like, it's still hanging around. Like, once that we, mm-hmm.
So not everyone's like me and comes in on their first session is like, Sarah, here's everything. And I know also all the things that have been hanging around and why they're causing me to feel the way that I'm feeling now. Just help me.
Yeah, some people do, but I would say a lot of people need support with that, because we, and probably particularly women, Adam, to be perfectly honest, because we are accustomed to saying, yep, I can take it all and I will be quiet about it. And
yeah,
we've pushed a lot of stuff into underneath that rug. And so as we start allowing those things in a safe and, you know, a safe environment, just being, and that's really what people, and I think you've experienced this too, and that's what I needed to get to, is being comfortable isn't the right word, being able to sit in the uncomfortable feelings with those uncomfortable thoughts long enough, and with some tools and strategies, obviously, but long enough to actually allow them to be processed and move along, so that we don't have to keep using our energy to sweep them under the rug or to not think about it, because that does take up so much energy to do that. And once it's processed, then you actually have that energy back and you get to move, like, people just feel so much lighter and so much freer. And so that's why.
And I can attest to that too, is just like, I remember there was a lot of times where, like, I had the opportunity to go on a walk with my wife or play with my son in the middle of the day. And I just wasn't there emotionally or mentally, because I was so focused on, I should be doing work. Like, I didn't get back to these messages. This is why I'm not, like, just all these thoughts running through my head. And what I noticed, you know, for, like, the typical person who's trying to lose weight or get healthier, is that it's so, because there's so much gunk that hasn't been dealt with, it's so hard for them to start making changes to their diet and to start working out, because every time they do it, it's a small trigger that says, you can't do this. So when they go to eat, that healthy meal and they don't like the taste of it, or they miss a walk, or they go to do a workout and they don't know how to do it, it's very uncomfortable and intimidating. And then on top of that, it's just evidence that I can't do this. I'm not always meant to be fat. This isn't for me.
Yes.
And it just drags them down. It's so much energy. So it's actually easier for them to just avoid the process altogether.
Absolutely.
And They did a study. I wish I knew the name of it, but there was a legitimate study done where they surveyed X number of morbidly obese women, and they found that 50% of them had suffered some sort of, like, childhood sexual trauma. And it's like, in that situation, it's like, calories and lunges aren't the answer for this person. They have to deal with this childhood trauma. So it doesn't necessarily mean that if you're someone who wants to lose, like, 10 or 15 pounds, you just want to lean up for the summer. Yeah, maybe it's not that intense of a trauma, but there's some reason why that is important to you and you see self-worth in that. And there's a small percentage of people where it's just fun for them to, like, see changes in their body and enjoy fitness. But there's a large group of people who are just want to make change. They know they need to, and they keep falling into habits. So from your experience, like, when it comes to building new habits, it doesn't even necessarily have to be weight loss specific, but building new habits, why is it so difficult for people to change their habits? And this is key, even when they know that their current habits don't serve them, why do you feel like that's so difficult?
So there are a couple of things that are coming to mind. I'll see if I can remember both of them by the time I get to the second one. So one is answering that question and touching upon something that you were just alluding to. I feel like we have learned over the course of times or over the course of our lives that if something doesn't feel good, it means something's wrong. Mm-hmm. And we make this huge leap from something feeling uncomfortable to danger, which on one hand is understandable because that's how survival works. So we need that. Mm-hmm. But something not feeling good does not, majority of the time, fortunately, does not actually mean something is wrong. It doesn't mean we're in danger. It mm-hmm. means that our very wise bodies are recognizing that something is off. And so that's one thing that I see in a lot of people. And I, again, had to learn myself is that mental rewiring of something not feeling good, seeing that as like a little flag going up that says, hey, look here, and actually look there and allow this, rather than a flag waving that says danger, 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 look away, go into high alert, all that. So that's one thing. I feel like for so many people, myself included, and the people that I've had the opportunity to work with, we make this huge leap when something doesn't feel good, rather than trusting ourselves, rather than trusting our internal guidance that says, hey, something's off. Let's look at this. What's going on? And actually asking ourselves a question and listening for what's going on. And again, we haven't been taught how to do that, right? We were not taught to listen for that or to trust ourselves or to even know like how to actually do that. Even if like someone listening is probably like, yeah, that sounds nice, but how do you go? So that's one piece of it is that we make this huge leap. Yeah.
It's also a good metaphor for just the process of, not to keep tying it back to fitness, but like the process of working out, like in the moment, doing a squat doesn't feel good. Like it's hard, it burns, but like for a lot of people, if they're not used to that, that just sends a signal up like, well, now my knee hurts. Now my back is tight. Like this is bad. I probably shouldn't do this. Yeah. And this is wrong. And they run away as opposed to being like, well, why does my back hurt? Oh, maybe it's because I haven't worked out in 20 years. This is just like a growing pain, or I got to get used to it. Same thing with like, if someone, you know, wants to go to Dunkin' Donuts every morning and they decide to cook eggs instead, they're like, they taste it. It doesn't taste as good as Dunkin' Donuts. It's not what they're used to. It's like, oh, this is wrong. This is why eating healthy sucks. This isn't as good. And all these alarms go up because it's trying to pull you back to what you're comfortable with. So even though you know, inherently know, going to Dunkin' Donuts is not serving you or your goal, you're up at night wondering why you can't lose weight. You're dreading going to places. You hate putting on certain outfits. You know, going to Dunkin' Donuts or eating those wings is probably not in line with your goal. But you do it anyway, because the discomfort of starting a new habit is greater than the discomfort of like living in this stress that you're actually kind of used to at this point.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So, you had a second point.
Yes. And just to finish off on that one, that second thought is really important. So the first thought is, oh, this doesn't feel good, or oh, this doesn't taste good. Okay. So it doesn't taste as good as Dunkin' Donuts, or yes, it hurts right now because I'm doing these squats and I haven't worked out in a while, or I'm trying to do more or whatever, so the second thought becomes really important, because I want to be healthier. I want to feel better. I want to fill in the blank for yourself. What is your motivator? That second thought becomes so important.
Yeah, I know that's really important, because in the moment, it's easy to be like, well, this is hard. I'm recognized it, but you have to keep tying back to like what we talked about at the beginning.
Yes.
Well, why are you doing this?
Otherwise, you just stop.
I ask that all the time. I'm like, why are you even bothering tracking your food or doing these workouts? Like, why is this important to you? And then they have to think beyond just, okay, well, I want to lose weight. Okay. Well, when you lose the weight, what are you going to do differently? Like, and digging into that. And you know, so you said that there was like a second part too of like why you feel that those are.
So the second part is literally to bring it back to, again, our bodies truly are expertly designed, perfectly designed. So whatever we've been thinking in the past, our neurons in our brain are just wired together to support thinking that, which again, supports survival. So we don't have to think about every single aspect of what happens throughout every second of every day. But if we haven't been mindful of consciously practicing those thoughts that are supportive of how we actually want to feel. Most people, when we have a goal, it's because we want something different than what we currently have. And so what we have to do is overcome the literal physiological wiring that has been created by the past thoughts and the past feelings. So it takes 8 weeks to rewire those neurons. It takes 8 weeks of deliberate, conscious, intentional focus on what we do want in order to for those thoughts to start to become more of the natural habit. Similarly, with the cells in our bodies, they always have more receptors for whatever chemicals they've been flooded with in the past. So if those are chemicals of stress, adrenaline, cortisol, things that didn't feel, you're just naturally, which again, in our society, most of us do, your cells just naturally have more receptors for those stressful feeling hormones. Mm-hmm. When you can allow yourself to learn how, so it takes, well, let me just say, it takes 90 seconds for those stress chemicals to leave your system when you're not continuing to engage in the thought. So just as you were saying, someone squatting, they're taking a run, they're going for a walk, and it doesn't feel good in the moment, it's going to send off this alert that says, uh-oh, danger, it doesn't feel good. Mm-hmm. That when that alert happens in your body, literally there's a cascade of hormones that get sent in there that say, okay, do we need to flee? Do we need to hide? Like what, from a survival standpoint, what do I need to do? And that we need that. Now we can't get rid of that. We need that in order to survive. But our job is to recognize when that's happening, when it's not literally a life or death situation, which thankfully most things are not, and choose to pause. So maybe focus on your breath, for example, just draw your attention to your breath for 90 seconds or call it 2 minutes. It only takes 90 seconds for those stress chemicals that were sent into your system because of this thought that was scary or something didn't feel good. It takes 90 seconds for those stress chemicals to wash back out of your system if you're not continuing to focus on those thoughts, because otherwise we then are thinking it and then we're getting more stress chemicals and we think it more and then we feel it. And again, so
the analogy that you gave to me, I remember it was very, helped me kind of understand that more, was you were saying, like, you know, basically like if an antelope gets chased by a lion and the antelope is running for its life, once it gets, if it gets away and loses the lion, it doesn't then sit there stressing, going, when's that lion coming back? Oh my God, like what is going on? I'm worthless. I just barely escaped that lion. Right. Like 90 seconds later, it just goes back to eating grass. With humans, like our hormones work the same way. So like if you, whatever, you are on a, you're watching what you eat and you make a bad food choice and the scale goes up and you have all these crazy thoughts, the reason why it feels so intense is because you continue to think those thoughts all day. Then you sabotage again. You start going down the wormhole. Mm-hmm. If you were to get coached through literally breathing in through your nose, out through your mouth for 90 seconds, you could process those hormones, process those thoughts, and actually feel better. And I can attest to that actually physiologically works because I've done it. And I've had those moments where I like felt that fight or flight come on. And then I just sat there and breathed through it. And then again, we're not saying that it's all rainbows, unicorns. It doesn't mean it completely goes away. You just go about your life, but you're like in a different mental state and you go, okay, what actually happened? And now you can just like be more mindful of how you're going to behave. Totally. The rest of the day.
Yeah. Two things with that. One, it sounds so silly until you actually experience it. But once those stress chemicals wash through after 90 seconds, you literally have access to different thoughts than you were thinking based upon the survival fear chemicals. You just have, you're able to think more clearly and actually choose what you want to think. So that's one. Yeah. The other is that, as I was starting to say, as it relates to cells, and I know this starts to get kind of technical, but I think it's really important. The cells in your body, they literally, you're just building more receptors for whatever chemicals you're flooding your body with. So each time, moment to moment, day to day, week to week, you are able to allow those stress chemicals to wash through. They're not there and you have different chemicals, whatever you want to call them, feel good hormones, whatever you want to call them, that you're building more receptors for. Each time you choose to let those stress chemicals wash through, you're actually building more receptors on your cells for the positive feeling hormones. And where it gets exponentially more powerful is your cells, all of our cells as humans, our cells are naturally dividing every 8 weeks. So yes, it takes a lot of effort and consciousness and intention and redirecting and all that sort of stuff for a period of time, but it's in its work, but it's not that much work forever, because after 8 weeks, when your cell, each cell that divides, if it now has more receptors for those positive feeling hormones, you now have, for every single cell you had, now you have two that have more receptors for the positive feeling hormones rather than the stressful hormones.
And so I think bringing it back to your original question,
why is it so hard? Oops, sorry. Go ahead. What'd you say?
I don't know that this that just goes to more proof that it's not just woo-woo. There's actual like scientifically how it works. Yes.
And this, to bring it back to your original question, why is it so hard? Because we are just, this is how our bodies are designed. Mm-hmm. It's not that something is wrong with us. It's that we need to learn how to be able to shift it to be working for us. That survival mechanism is there for our survival. But again, as you just said, in the illustration of the antelope or whatever, like we have these conscious thinking minds that are able to focus on what went wrong and telling ourselves stories about it and how we're worthless or whatever it is, all of that sort of stuff that really gets in the way. And so when we can dial that back a bit, release the stuff that's not working for us and be intentional about what we're actually focusing on and creating more of what we actually want, then we start to feel better.
No, that's amazing. I think that's a great like pin on like the conversation, just like people can kind of process that, like realize how much power you have of like, I feel that it's similar to, I make this comparison a lot, like these thoughts we have, the power that our mind has, it's like a hammer. Like a hammer is a hammer. If you use it to, you know, put together a shelf in your house, that's fine. You start smashing all the windows into the house with the hammer, then that's probably not a good decision. It's going to cause more damage than you want, but it's, the hammer's still a hammer, right? It doesn't change inherently. It's like with us, right? We have the same tools every day. We're just subconsciously using them towards sabotage and stress. And if we can just use it and learn how to put together the shelf with that same hammer, it now becomes a good tool to have.
Exactly. And that's why as you were saying earlier, it's so important to be really clear about what you do want and how you do want to feel and why, because that desire has to be married with, as you focus on that, then all the stuff that's in the way is going to show up and you need to be able to work with how to let that stuff go, all of that. But if you're not consciously filling that with what you actually want, you're never, and none of us are ever going to get to, it's always going to be a step ahead of us. It's always in the future.
You're always going to be chasing it. You're always going to be chasing it. Mm-hmm. So Sarah, thank you so much for coming on. Real quick, if people wanted to learn more about you or maybe even get in touch with you to ask questions, where are the best places they can find you?
Yeah, of course. So people can go to the Kindness website. It's kind, KIND-NEST.com. And you can there's a little hovering button there that says like learn to manifest or something like that. So you can literally just click on that and schedule a consultation. But I'm also happy for people to reach out to me via email. I know everyone's different as it relates to these things. Some people want to just call and try to make a connection. Others want something on the schedule. I will say, and I think we all know this, like anytime we've been talking about accountability. Anytime you actually, if this is something you want to do, then you make it happen for yourself. If you're at that point where you're like, I can't do it this way anymore, then you take that next step and you explore what are some other opportunities. So go ahead and schedule a consultation. You can email me at Sarah, S-A-R-A-H at kind-nest.com, or you can call me. I can give my phone number if you want. You know, there are various ways. I know everyone is different about that sort of stuff, but I do free consultations, happy to chat with anyone and just see if this sort of work is a good fit. Because again, you have to be ready to get a little bit uncomfortable or allow the discomfort that's there anyway to be processed and get really clear on what you do want. If that sounds like it's something that would be supportive of your goals, then reach out.
That's awesome. And I'll make sure I link all of Sarah's stuff in the show notes. So if you're listening on Apple or Spotify, you can literally just scroll down and all of her website and her Instagram and her stuff will be there too. But I really appreciate you doing this. And I genuinely appreciate like all the work that you've done with me over the last few months. It's genuinely, genuinely helped me. So thank you.
It's truly been my honor, Adam. And this is just like literally the fact that we are talking to your audience today about this is such a testament to this work that you have been bravely doing for yourself. And I'm so grateful to have been a part of it.
It's funny though that you say that because people who are listening to this are probably like, Sarah, Adam talks about his childhood shit too much on this show. Like I've heard about Adam's trauma one too many times. But Sarah's work with me has really, really helped me, and it's helped me emotionally. It's helped me in my home, just the way I'm more present with my wife and my son, and I can just feel like an energy shift. And I would say, guys, if you listen to this and you're like, you know, oh wow, that resonates with me, I would definitely just check out Sarah's stuff. It's very, very useful. But
thank you so much. Even if someone were never to reach out to me personally, again, that everyone's different around these things. The three things that I would suggest, is it okay if I just summarize really quickly?
Yeah, go for it.
So calming your nervous system. So when you take a breath, like where take a deep breath comes from is anytime you take an inhale and your exhale is longer, you're sending a message to your body that it's okay to relax. So a few of those nice deep breaths where your exhale is longer than your inhale are signaling to your body that it's okay to relax. And it's signaling it's okay to let those stress chemicals, those hormones, to wash on through. So that is always my very number one, because absolutely everything is contingent upon us actually knowing that we're safe. Yeah. So that's one. And then the other are equally important. So the next is getting really clear on how you do actually want to feel and the reason why, because coming back to that desire as the second question, as we were saying, needs to be your focus. Each time you're like, why would I want to sit in this? Like, why do I want pain right now? Oh, it's because I have this goal that I like of what I actually want. Then the pain is okay. Right. So getting really clear on what you do want, and then finding some strategies for yourself to be able to process the stuff that's in the way. And so that's where, again, the inner alignment coaching often comes in, is we have all this baggage and gunk that we're carrying around. And so once we get really clear on what we do want, then we need some strategies for being able to support ourselves and letting that stuff go. So calm your nervous system, get crystal clear on what you do want and why, and deliberately, intentionally focus on that. And then learn some strategies for releasing the stuff that's standing in the way, what I call the interference.
Thank you so much. That's really helpful. And even when we scheduled this, Sarah was like, yeah, my goal is just to give out as much good information as possible and hopefully help someone. So hopefully this was helpful to you guys. Again, if you did get use out of it, just share it with a friend. I can't think of one adult who doesn't have any stress in their life. So this will help pretty much anyone, whether it's huge stress, they're going through a rough time, or it's just day-to-day stress. It's helped me with both of those. So thank you, Sarah. I really appreciate you.
Yeah, my pleasure. Thanks, Adam.